All right, church family, we're going to be getting started now. I want to thank you for coming out tonight. We have some coffee for you guys. Feel free to get a donut or a muffin. Make yourself a home, guys, as we get ourselves ready for our live stream. Amen. Just get here, hoping that everything goes well there. Got to fix some last-minute technicalities here. Not sure what's going on there. Okay. All right, there we go. Okay, let me go ahead and do that now. All right. Okay, guys, welcome back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We don't change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. Sure is a blessing to see all of you who are able to make it here to church today. And let's go ahead and prepare our hearts now as we get ourselves ready for the Word this evening. Just go over some quick announcements for you all here this afternoon. So as you guys already know, those of you that have been here, OGs, y'all should know by now our tradition, if you will. We go over the calendar, and then we kindly remind you guys of what we have planned. So please, if you have ever have any questions, if you forget to text Brother Carlos or Sister Katie, what's going on? Don't be shy to just look up to your church calendar, and that should be up to date now as we're back little by little getting ourselves in the flow. Amen. And so with that said, we're just going to go over some quick announcements. So first of all, as you guys know, my wife and I are making our recovery little by little, and we're looking forward to tomorrow. We've been doing 1 hour. So like I shared with you guys last Sunday at church, we're just going to do 1 hour as well for Saturdays. And so tomorrow for the downtown outreach of the Sunset Market, we're going to go ahead and just do 1 hour as well. So that means, as we have it here on the calendar, 5:30 to 6:45. We're going to meet her at the church at 5 o'clock. As you guys know, for those of you who have been with us, we're going to pray, get our flyers, get some scripture signs, and then get ourselves going. So if you guys can join us, please do that. We're going to go for 1 hour downtown at the Sunset Outreach, pass out tracts. As you guys already know, just trying our best to make a little difference here in our city of Oceanside. That's our field. Sure be a blessing to see you if you can join us for that as well. So that's where we'll be at for tomorrow. Friday, don't forget, discipleship class. We'll be here for that as well. And then soul winning. We'll be here Saturday. So for the soul winning, as you guys, I'm just going to verbally let you know. So we're not going to do the what we used to do, 10 to 2:30, first half door-to-door apartments, and then go to the beach. We're just going to go from 11 to 12, 12:30. So if you guys can meet here at this at the church at 11, sure to appreciate you. As you guys already know, flyers, scripture signs, prayer, have a little devotional. Then we'll get out by 11:15, go downtown, pass out tracts, and that sure be a blessing. So if you can join us for soul winning, sure to appreciate you and help us in being obedient to the great commission that Christ gave the church to win souls and teach the world that there's a Savior. Amen. Help Christians grow with a Bible-based diet here at our church. And then we'll be back here, God willing, for Sunday church. Give you guys a couple of heads up. The good news is Brother Lordson Rock is on schedule for coming. He's from India. For those of you who've been with us months ago, he ministered to our church via Zoom because he's all the way in India, and that was a huge blessing. So he's going to be flying out to different churches. His family base is in Kansas, so he is on the go to come spend time with our church. So as I've been asking you guys, as members of your free will offering, other than your giving, if you will, just begin to set apart a couple of dollars here and there for that coffee instead or the snack and that chip. And then that way, by the end of his stay, we can bless him with a little love offering to go. Let him know that we appreciate him. As you guys know, the Bible tells us to provide for them that preach the gospel, for them that are laboring in the word. And so when they come and minister to us, it's just a biblical Christian tradition to financially give a little love offering for people that travel, pastors, preachers, because that's what they're doing for their livelihood. When the church is unable to sustain a pastor, brother got to work. And but for that brother, he is in it full time. So we just want to say thank you. So church, aside from your normal giving, a love offering would be much appreciated. Just begin to pray about that. And then if you want to set aside, so September, got 2 months. He's going to be here from the 5th through the 8th. So Tuesday through Thursday, he's going to fly out Friday. So we're going to receive him Tuesday night, my wife and I. If any of you guys want to be there with us at the airport, that's cool. But Wednesday is going to be the main preaching, right, for you guys. So we're going to start a little earlier on that Wednesday. Again, I'll give you guys a heads up. We're going to try to start by at least 6 o'clock so we can have a little food before. I'm going to invite my church friends from different places so they also can bring their members. Again, you guys know, for those of you who've been around Baptist churches, traditional, they like to invite people, hey, special guest speaker. So we're going to try to have that. And then at the end of the church service, we're going to have a little dinner fellowship in the kitchen. So if you guys can begin to prepare your hearts too for any willing free will volunteers to bring food for a potluck, that should be cool. Amen. So then just talk to me about that if you guys can. And then those are the announcements for like upcoming. And then my wife and I will be flying out at the last week of September to visit Brother Komain. So if you guys can pray for that, that the men will be ready to take over in my absence to feed the flock, that should be a blessing as well. All right, guys. And then next but not least here, don't forget my brother, friend Joshua Stevenson from El Cajon has invited our church to their times of refreshing. So again, special guest preachers, as you guys know, special guest ministers, inviting church friends to come on out. The 2023 Comic-Con outreach, that's a huge evangelistic outreach. If you are not used to passing out flyers and tracts, I encourage you, join us for this Saturday. Get yourself kind of mentally prepped for those of you who haven't been soul winning with us in a while. And then get ready. It's just going to be like that, but on steroids, times 10. Tons of people everywhere, thousands just passing out flyers. And it's going to be fun afterwards, barbecue, and then a special evening message there as well. So if you guys want to carpool, let me know. If not, let me know as well. And look forward to that. So those are the dates, the 19th through the 23rd. Amen. So that's that announcement there. Study blogs, you guys already know, these are here for your benefit. You can look on our YouTube channel. I post articles or Facebook church page if you guys have Facebook. Remember that right now for the live stream, we're only going through podcasts. I will get back to the video for YouTube and Facebook soon. But if you want the teaching archive, just go to the podcast channel. And then if you want a video archive, you can email me and I'll try to provide that at a later date. Need prayer? Please submit that prayer request right there. Or hit up Sister Katie for you ladies. Brothers, you hit up me. I'll pray for you on the spot. Let's be a family that prays together. Amen. And then last but not least, church, again, between you and God, if you're a member of this church, remain faithful in your giving. Whatever you purpose in your heart between you and God, to just say, Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for the ministration you can financially give. And just remember that God does love a cheerful giver. And remember that the Bible promises you that he will supply your necessities so you can abound to every good work. And so whatever you give, he'll probably provide you a little bit more. So what? You can keep giving. And so remember, church, that's one of the commands. And so there's plenty of go. You guys know we don't pass the hat and we don't beat the horse in that. But again, I'm assuming like the Spirit of God does that you love him enough to obey him. And once you are presented truth from the Word of God, and so just remain faithful. You guys got the box back there. You guys can give online with those QR codes. And again, it's just between you and God. Amen. And the last couple of announcements, you guys know my wife and I are provoking you guys more so this year. For those of you who've been with us now for a long time, those of you who have been here, some of you are no longer babies. Some of you guys are toddlers, amen. Some of y'all are still teeth, and amen. But you guys are growing in the Lord. It's great. So again, we're going to keep asking and provoking you for help and support. So just two more quick announcements. If you want to support us and help us, if you want to show up at least 15 to 25 minutes before service, we could use help with vacuuming, setting up the coffee, the water, the signs, stuff like that. And then a long time ago, I asked some of you want to help me out with social media ministry. And if any of you guys want to, you know, commit to that, what you raised your hand for, I sure would appreciate that. It's simple. I can show you very easily, but I just need help with our social media ministry, if you will. So just YouTube videos, the Facebook posting, stuff like that. Again, we could use more help. So I'm just waiting on your free will to commit, to support, and that should be a blessing. Amen. So we'll keep that there. And I'll wait for you guys on that. Amen. All right, guys. With that said, would you guys do me a favor? Let's go ahead and get back into our midweek Bible study. It's been such a while since we've been in the book of Acts. And of course, as you guys make your way there to the book of Acts chapter 28, that's where we're going to be at. It sure is good to be back in the book of Acts. And then, of course, guys, as you guys know, we haven't seen each other in a couple of days. How's everybody's week going? Thumbs up? Sideways? Down. Okay, thumbs up. Praise the Lord. How many of you guys believe it's hot? Amen. Anybody out here? Woo, it was hot today. Amen. I'm glad for AC. Not at my house. It's not AC there, but hey, praise the Lord. We got AC up in here at the church house. Amen. That sure is a blessing. So we're going to try to take care of you guys. You guys already know to get this and make y'all feel a little bit more comfortable. Amen. All right, my friends. So with that said, Acts the 28th chapter. Let's go ahead and pick up there where we left off. And it's been a while since we've been there. So let's go ahead and then get ourselves plugged back in as I try to get my notes here together. And there we have it. All right, so Acts, the 28th chapter, verse number 16. My wife, Katie, may you give me a cup of water, please, whenever you get a chance. I should appreciate that. Acts chapter 28. Let's go ahead and read the verses, and then we will pray. Well, let's go ahead and pick up together in verse number 16. And then as you guys make your way to Acts 28:16 in your Bible, just a quick summary of where we're at. Some of you guys are here for the first time back in our Acts verse study. Some of you haven't been here in a while. So remember, this is the last chapter of the book of Acts. We are reading this book of Acts through a historical lens, which means that we're looking at it through a historical perspective. There's a lot of things in the book of Acts that took place that are not necessarily perpetual. In other words, there's an act. There is some supernatural stuff going on. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily continuing today. But wherever there's doctrine that we can receive from the book of Acts, there's plenty of application anywhere, of course. But wherever there's a doctrine, I'll let you know in context. So I'm just giving you guys a heads up as it pertains to how we're approaching this. But nevertheless, at the last chapter here, we have Paul the Apostle, who is on his way to Rome because of his persecution that he endured there in Jerusalem a couple of chapters ago. Let me see if I can quickly pull this up for you, church, here. All right, great. Look up to the screen here. Praise the Lord for technology. So you guys remember that he was beaten in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit kept warning the Apostle Paul not to go back to Jerusalem. Remember that. He kept resisting the will of God for his life. Anybody here? And therefore, he suffered the consequences. Doesn't mean that God wasn't going to still use him, but it just means he could have used him in a different way had he just listened and not gone back. And so with that said, he is now on his way to Rome because he appealed to Caesar as a Roman citizen for his trial. Because remember, he was just being illegally tried there in Jerusalem by the Sanhedrin, and they wanted to whoop on him. They wanted to kill him because of obviously now his role in spreading the gospel of Jesus of Nazareth. So he's on his way up there, right? We are following the mission trails to Salamis there in the Isle of Cyprus. And then going through all these cool places. I already taught you guys this in our couple of chapter verses ago. And then he is now heading up to Rome here, going through all these cool places, the three taverns, and then he eventually ends up in Rome. And then where I left you guys off in our verse-by-verse study there, the three taverns, it's a city south there. The Bible says how there were some believers there. Can you believe how far the gospel has spread? Let me show you guys. Look, Jerusalem. These are, I'm talking about hundreds of miles away without social media, without Facebook, without Instagram, without whatever y'all use today. I don't know what you guys use. But guys, just by word of mouth, the gospel reached all the way to Rome, and there was disciples there. He found them. And then remember, I shared with you guys last Acts study, he was encouraged. The Bible says that we took courage of the brethren, and then the disciples, when they heard that he was there, they walked or they traveled by horse. We're not sure. Somehow, some way, they go from the three taverns to where he was at. And the Bible says that we took courage. And then my last message I gave you was, it's a blessing when God comfort him through the brethren. And it's good to travel to see brethren you haven't seen in a long time. Whether it's me going to see my Bible school teacher or a great Christian that you admire who's been a blessing to you in some fashion. It encourages believers who live far from us when you want to just see them. And God can do something with that. He can encourage your spirit. And so that's where I left you out with our Acts study. So now we're picking up here. He gets there. He has liberty in Rome in his prison cell, right? Even though he's guarded, he can receive people freely, right? So a lot of the people are coming to him. This is where he writes the majority of the remaining of his New Testament epistles. And a way that you can tell when an epistle was written by Paul in prison is because he will say, a bond servant, or I'm in prison, or something like that. He'll make a reference to his imprisonment. And then there you have it. So he's going to call the Jews that are renowned in the city. And he is going to try to communicate with his kinsmen and try to reason with them concerning Jesus. He wants to see where the people of Israel that are there in Rome, who have migrated, obviously, from Jerusalem over time, what have they heard of Jesus of Nazareth, the gospel, and then see if he can win them to Christ. He's going to try to present the gospel. So that's kind of where we're at right now in verse number 16. So let's read the verses and we'll pray. The Bible says, when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. By the way, Paul, is not alone. The third person, we have Luke, who is the writer of the book of Acts. He is accompanying Paul. And it says here, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. So that's cool. Verse 17, it came to pass that After 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. Remember how I said the renowned Hebrews, right? So imagine, if you will, in the city of Oceanside, you know, there is a collection of gathering of Hebrews, and obviously the leaders, the teachers there. He went after those, you know, folks that were of high esteem or authority over the synagogues or the Jewish assemblies. And then it says here, when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers. So now again, he is appealing to them now through his Hebrew lineage. Remember that he's humbling himself. Hey, brothers, hey, my elders, right? That's that cultural respect. Even in your culture, right? Some of you Latinos, some of you American, you might have a cultural respect when you identify an elder, if you will. So I just like that. He's still humbling himself. He says here, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Go back to Acts 21, 22. You can read that. Verse 18, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, talking about the Romans, because there was no cause of death in me. Now that's important, because the Jews wanted to kill him. Remember that. But the Romans, there was no worthy reason for him to die according to Roman law. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. He had to, in other words. Not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. See, notice his humility again. He's saying, I'm not trying to pull down our people, guys. Remember, he is respecting his Hebrew culture, right? Verse number 20, for this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you because, now listen, here's what we're going to focus on tonight, that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. For the hope of Israel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for those that are able to make it here. Would you please now minister through me to the church family here this afternoon, God? Remove me out of your way. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to have a pure heart before you, God, so you can bless this message to the hearers. I just pray, God, that you'd forgive me of any sins which I've committed against your spirit and others in my heart. And God, please help me now to be a vessel ready for the master's use. Lord, help me to have an intent that is pure towards every soul here, to love them and to minister to them the word of God. And I pray that the members would love you and be ready and receptive and willing to hear what your Bible has to say this evening, God. So would you teach us, instruct us? We want to be your disciples so we can be a better Christian witness to the world, to our family, and our church family. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, notice what he's appealing to. For the hope of Israel. We are going to start a mini-series based off this verse for the next couple of weeks. We're going to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, all the way through the prophets, so that way you can see what the hope of Israel was, what the promises were given in the Bible for this people group, Israel. Not the Gentile groups of the world. Not the Aztecs, the Incans, not the Olmecs, not the Africans, not the Ethiopians, not the Egyptians, not the Arabians. Israel. There's a hope for Israel. And what Paul is telling them, I am in prison for that hope. Now, that's going to blow them away, because why are you in prison for our faith, obviously, unless you were a malefactor, right, a bad guy? Because the hope that was given them was the promise of redemption through the Messiah, that he would suffer, die, and rise again. And even though the scriptures foretold their rejection of the Messiah, it's that hope for which now he is bound in chain, not only in opposition to the people, that is Israel, but now Roman law, because remember, at that time, the Caesars, the different Caesars from the time of Christ thereafter, they had a heavy hand of persecution against the Christians. And so you have two political oppositions, one religious from the nation of Israel, and then two, the Gentile powers. So what we're going to do now is we're going to carefully examine the hope of Israel, starting with the Old Testament scriptures. We're going to talk about the prophets. We're going to talk about the scriptures. And we're going to identify with New Testament and Old, how and when did God begin to reveal a message to Israel, and how that message was talking about a man, and how that man was identified not only by Christ himself of Nazareth, but then the New Testament apostles all confirming that that man, Jesus of Nazareth, is the hope of Israel. He is the one who was prophesied. So it's going to be a great journey. I hope you stay with us now as we continue moving forward. Now, before we get on that Bible train, I just want to talk about what are some of the blessings that came out of Paul's imprisonments with a security guard watching over him constantly. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't really feel comfortable being imprisoned, having a security guard. But while I'm there ministering to people, how could God use that? How could God use that and then bless others with the circumstance? Look with me on the screen here, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 22. Notice some of the fruit that came out of Paul's faithfulness to Jesus, even in his uncomfortable circumstance of being imprisoned. Look what ended up coming about his ministry there in Rome. The Bible says in Philippians 4:22, that all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Isn't that awesome? So imagine that you were in prison in Washington, D.C., and somehow, some way, you began to minister to some of the family members or siblings of Mr. Biden. How about that? And they end up getting saved, and they end up becoming a great Christian. I just want you to see how God can still use your circumstance, even though you're uncomfortable, if you let Him. If you trust Christ enough to still have the willingness and the humility to present Christ to those around you, you don't know how God can use that. So there you have it. What a blessing it is to know that God ministered through Paul's circumstance to help reach out to those around him, although he might not have fully understood it at the time. Who would have known that some of Caesar's household could be saved? I mean, guys, that's the power of the Roman Empire he's dwelling in the midst of, complete opposition to Christians. Remember, they used to burn Christians on stakes. They used to get their bodies, throw the oil, light their bodies on fire for lampposts throughout the cities. That's historical facts right now. And yet God can use a man like Paul in there. Turn your Bible with me to Romans chapter 8. If that doesn't convince you enough, let me show you another verse that tells you that God can help your infirmities. How about that? Romans 8:26. I struggle with this because I'm a human. I'm right there with you, brother and sister. Sometimes it doesn't feel good when you're hurting in life, whether you're going through a physical trauma, an emotional trauma, or an external, if you will, influence that you have no control over, for example, phenomena of weather, right, or economic or government, whatever. In other words, when you're going through an infirmity, it doesn't feel good, and you get discouraged wanting to be bold for Jesus and wanting to keep serving Him. But can I tell you something, friend? The Holy Spirit can still help you in that manner. Now look at here, Romans 8:26. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our what? Infirmities. So what does that tell me? He's not going to take them away. He can help you through those infirmities. What do you have to do? Let Him help you. Trust Him in the process. While I'm hurting, sitting in the hospital, you know what I could do? I could have a prayer card. I can give it to somebody sitting next to me there. How about that? While I'm being wheeled around by the little Mexicana nurses, you know what I could do? I can let them know about Jesus. But you have to trust Him. You have to believe that the Holy Spirit of God can still help your infirmities. So then, yes, contrary to popular belief from some of our Christian friends out there, the Holy Ghost isn't always going to heal, set free, and deliver. Why? You and I need humbling sometimes. Anybody here? You and I need to learn how to be more patient. Anybody here? But through that time, He can help you and use you to help someone get saved. How about that? So I just want to encourage you, that brother and sister, that God knows how to use our infirmities for His glory. And He is able to help us through difficult times and situations in life. You and I might not feel comfortable in those moments. And I also know how you may not feel like opening your mouth to share your faith with others, especially when you are experiencing difficulties in life that you might not fully comprehend at the moment. Now, why God is permitting those things to come to pass, I do not know. But what He could use through those, I do know, for His glory. I just want to encourage you with that. So the Bible says the Holy Spirit can help you in those times. All we must do is be willing to open our mouth to share Jesus, and He will fill us with the rest of the confidence and boldness we need to help share Him with others around us. Amen? Remember what the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for thee. Anybody remember that? The Holy Spirit taught Paul a lesson. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Wow. So what did Paul respond then when he was asking Jesus to remove this thorn in his life three times. Remember what Jesus said? My strength is made perfect in weakness. So then Paul's response, he would rather glory in his infirmities. For what reason? That the power of Christ may rest upon him. Now, guys, that's maturity. How Jesus can use your infirmities for his glory. I don't know how he does that. All I can encourage you, brother and sister, is to do your best to trust Jesus through the process. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I just want to encourage you with those verses as well. If you want to read some other verses about that, 2 Corinthians 1, let's go there, and then I'll just read the other ones to you just to save time. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, turn your Bible there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, read with me together, church, in verse number 3. And then, yes, parents, we got the AC too, Abraham, next door. They're not going to die like little frijolitos, okay? 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 3, the Word of God says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now watch this, church, verse number 4, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So what did I say earlier? Is God going to remove the infirmity? No. Is he going to remove the tribulation? Mm-mm. What is he going to do? Be merciful to you. He's going to comfort you through it because you don't know, but in a week or two, you're going to come across an individual who could use your comfort. And that's why you're going through it. Because God, rather than supernaturally opening up the heavens and proving his existence to every single sinner on the planet, you know, if you're real, move the spoon. I know anybody here. He's going to use you with what he gave you, the comfort, to just tell somebody else and testify, hey, this is why you shouldn't give up on church. This is why you shouldn't get up in your marriage. This is why you shouldn't, because God did this for me. It doesn't have to be a theological lesson. What are you testifying? God comforted me. So that way they don't lose hope. Anybody here? So that's how God can use you. Just like Paul in prison, that's what we're talking about here. Hebrews 13:5, to the Christian, you know what he promised? He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, do you believe that? Anybody here? You believe that? Then you have to trust the process. That Jesus Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. You have to believe that by faith. You physically might not logically get it at the time. You might not rationalize how God is going to use that circumstance. But he can and he will. God wants us to remain upright before him. Other verses that you can apply spiritually to you as a Christian in that context, Deuteronomy 4:31, Bible says, he will not forsake thee nor destroy thee. Deuteronomy 31:6, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Deuteronomy 31:8, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. Those are great verses given the nation of Israel, but again, as a Christian, you can spiritually apply those to yourself because you have the God and Father of Jesus as your God. That's what I'm trying to encourage you with. Amen? All right, praise the Lord. So now let's come back to focus on the because for the hope of Israel. By the way, if any of you want these notes, just email me and I will give you those messages. I've been doing my best to give the men these study guides to be a help to them. So hopefully they read them on their private time. All right, Acts chapter 28. Let's go back there now to our base text. Acts 28, verse number 20. All right, so what are we talking about now? We are going to begin a Bible series going back through the Old Testament. For this verse 20, Paul is telling these believers in Rome while he's in jail, I am in jail for the hope of Israel. For the hope of Israel. They responded to him in verse number 21. They said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. So what are the Jews telling Paul in Rome? We haven't heard nothing bad about the Christians. We haven't heard nothing bad about you, Saul or Paul. Verse number 22, but now notice what they're going to ask him. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. What do you think, man, of what's going on? For as concerning this sect, so that's how it was perceived by the Roman Jews, the early Christian movement, they are identified as a sect. We know that everywhere it is spoken against. So they are testifying. We don't have anything against them, but we're just hearing that these Christians, they're bad, they're evil, they're just spoken against. So now, verse 23, when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. Now, really, really pay attention to this, Christian. Hope you're following with me in your Bible. Persuading them concerning who? Jesus. Are you ready now? Both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. So what does the Holy Spirit remind us of? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he would die for sinners, rise again from the dead the third day, is prophesied in the law of Moses and in the prophets. That's what Paul is preaching to these Jews in Rome. For some reason, some of my brethren think that Paul got a mystery that no one else knew. That's accordingly not true. He is preaching the kingdom of God from Moses and the prophets, and now he is appealing to Jews, the gospel. But then what's the response? Look at verse 24. We're getting ahead of the notes, but look. Some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not free will. They have to trust the word of God by faith. But there you have it. So now, concerning the Old Testament scriptures, prophets, prophecies of Jesus, let's begin our series now. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Deuteronomy 18. Let's go there. All right, guys, we're going to dig deep now. It's going to take us a couple of Wednesdays to get through all these notes that I got here. But if you sow a seed, I'll give you the notes. Amen. Anybody here? All right, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Here we have it, guys. We're going to start a little series about the prophets, the scriptures, when God began to minister to the nation of Israel concerning Jesus. That's kind of what I want to focus on. Because you and I clearly know that the Old Testament has a lot of prophecies, a lot of revelation, a lot of commandments given the nation of Israel that sometimes don't really have anything to do with Jesus. It's just to govern them, their clothing, for example, what to do with their agriculture, stuff like that. So I want to focus on these key verses that are going to connect Jesus. But the Holy Spirit clearly teaches there in Acts chapter 28 and everywhere else in the New Testament that all throughout the whole Old Testament, you can find Jesus. It's up to you now to do your due diligence to study, and don't do the lazy Christian thing by just reading a commentary and saying, there it is. No, you put in the work, amen? You find Christ in there just like I have, and watch how confident you're going to grow in your faith. Now, the word prophet or various forms of prophet, for example, prophetess, prophets, plural, appears in 455 verses in your King James Bible. Does anyone know who the first prophet is recorded in the scripture? Anybody? For free prayer. No. Anybody? Who's the first prophet identified by God? Huh? Nope. Nope. Mm-mm. Who? Abraham. Now, I'm just talking about historically, scripture, the first mentioned prophet is Abraham, but Enoch does precede prophesying. We get that, you know, later on in the New Testament. I'm just saying in the chronology, that's all. The word prophet appears the first time in your Bible and identifying Abraham. Genesis 20, verse 7, you guys can read that. Next, who do you think comes after him as recorded? Anybody after that? Moses and his brother? Remember, who's his brother's name? Anybody here pre-prayer? Aaron, there you have it. Okay. What about his sister? Anybody? Miriam. Exodus chapter 15, Exodus chapter 7. God will fill the hearts eventually of 70 men of the elders of Israel in the wilderness journeys to assist Moses bear the burden of the people. I ministered to the brethren last Wednesday prayer for that. And the Bible says they became prophets as well, Numbers chapter 11. So what qualifies a man or an individual to be a prophet? And for what purpose would a prophet prophesy? We're going to answer all those questions as we move on. I'm going to show you a couple of chapters so you can familiarize yourself with biblical ordination from the God of Israel to prophesy on his behalf, and then we're going to start connecting those prophecies, particularly with the person of Christ, like we read in Acts chapter 28. So now, go and do me a favor. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Numbers chapter 12. We'll come back here to Deuteronomy 18, but just go to Numbers chapter 12, and then we'll go to Deuteronomy 13. Numbers chapter 12. So, unfortunately, in this context, Miriam and Aaron, Moses' brother and sister, they began to act a little carnal. Sometimes, just like Christians who complain that another Christian is getting more attention, if you will, than someone else, maybe the pastor is acknowledging someone feels bad. That's always going to be around. We have to fight through that, amen? Just because you may or may not be acknowledged, just know that God sees you and y'all be all right. But they ended up complaining against Moses' wife, and then they complained that why doesn't God use us too? Don't we have the same authority as Moses? So they're murmuring. God said that Moses was meek. He's not going to start attacking them. That's a very meek man, by the way, we can learn. But God heard. So in verse 4, the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. Now, this is really cool. You guys want to learn something cool? Okay, verse 4. Who spoke? The Lord. Are you all here with me? Where are they at? They are there in the wilderness, the tabernacle set up. So, audibly, God's voice communicates. Listen now, this you got to follow this now. Communicates, they hear God speaking. You know, I don't know how to explain it. Let's just say we heard the voice come from up there. We all hear it. But now look at verse 5. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud. Ooh, you like that. So where was he? Well, he's up there. His voice travels, it communicates, and then he comes down. Anybody here? Y'all never seen that before? That's cool. All right, I guess not. Okay. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. Now this is God confronting humans who were complaining against another, but in this context, Moses, the man of God. Here's what he says. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. So that's what God said he will do. If a man or woman is qualified, God will personally visit him from the third heaven, reveal himself. That's the qualification. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. So you remember how you see the paintings in the movies? Sometimes they portray God kind of covered with a veil or some kind of a covering, like his face is always hidden. That's scripturally accurate. He didn't see his glory, you understand? But he saw his body, his form, his similitude. He's talking to him like this, but he's not beholding, obviously, his physical attributes, because no one can see God prior to his incarnation and his glorious state. So he manifests himself in a form to which he can behold Moses, privately speaking to him like a man to man. Wherefore, then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So he checks him. He rebukes him. Why are you complaining against Moses? I mean, guys, God comes down and confronts them because they're murmuring of why they can't be like Moses. Does God do that for every Christian who complains about their pastor? Anybody? No. Do you think a lot more Christians would be a little bit more sincere next time they come to church if God visited them, rebuked them for talking behind their pastor's back? Oh, yeah. I think that'll change my attitude a little bit. So there you have it. That's the qualification. Now, part one on that. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 13, part number two. Deuteronomy chapter 13. So he confronted Miriam and Aaron for complaining against Moses because he was qualified. God ordained him to be a prophet, and he told him, this is how I do it. So, for lack of better terms, y'all better hush it up, or I'm going to take you guys out. Okay, because God gets serious about that, all right? And you guys can read all throughout the Old Testament. I've already done it. It's pretty wild. He takes that very serious when people want to murmur against those whom he anointed for the work of his service. I'm just telling you. The Bible talks about how a prophet was rebuked by children. Remember that? And a bear came and took out some kids. I don't know if you guys ever heard that, but I'm telling you, God takes that serious. Y'all heard about that, right? I'm just telling y'all. Verse number one. Here it is. Now, If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, I need you to carefully read this again. God permitted false prophets, listen now, to test the nation of Israel to see if they would stay faithful to his word or not. Notice what God said. They're going to perform a wonder. Anyone here? They're going to perform a sign. Anybody here? But notice, what is their preaching going to entice the Hebrew people to do? Stop serving that God and come over here with us to serve these gods, and it's going to happen. A miracle might come, a sign or wonder, a vision. You know what God said? Don't listen to that prophet, because I'm seeing who's going to just believe the word of God. So how can I give you a spiritual application before I get to all the notes that I will cover that later on? Brother Carlos, what about people today who want to prophesy, blah, blah, blah? You would do well to just trust the scriptures. I know it's easier for us because we're sensual beings. We want God to come down and talk to us face to face. We want to see the supernatural because for some reason this is not enough. We're sensual. We want to see. We want to feel. We want to have tangible. I want to know that that man of God is speaking into my situation right now when I go to church service, the prophet, what have you. What if God let that false prophet come to pass to see if you're just going to obey your husband, submit to your spouse, or love your wife, or be faithful to the scriptures in other areas? What if God permits that just to prove you? Or what if he's trying to prove now and sift his children to see who's just going to trust the Bible or not? You see, friend, I don't know about you, but this Bible does not defend itself. It's an inanimate object. But the contents in this book are the truth. Whenever a man or woman comes to the scene and says, I have a word from the living God of Israel, you know what you better do? You better prove whether that scripture confirms or contradicts, and you would do well to trust the Bible. You say, brother, but they're a big church. It's not God there, is what I'm trying to tell you. The nation of Israel were compassed with plenty of men, up to 400 prophets at once, rebuking one prophet who spoke the truth. Remember that? Micaiah? Jehoshaphat was inquiring with the other king. 400 prophets for the nation of Israel. That's a mega church. Anybody? They're all saying the same thing. But that one guy said, nope, that's not true. King, you're going to die. And he tells the truth. So what I'm trying to tell you, the majority are not always biblically correct. That's why you have to just study the Word of God to see what does he say, what did he say in the past, and then you'll be safe. Okay, now let's start talking about, if you will, the connection with Jesus. Go down with me now to verse number 18, Deuteronomy chapter 18. You guys can read later on in your own time for this great lesson. Y'all can learn that. But anyways, God condemns false prophets, commands Israel to stone false prophets for their falsities, but obviously none of them were being faithful to the laws of Moses, because obviously by the time Christ came, guys, throughout history, there were so many false prophets of Israel, not a lot of them were getting stoned, is what I'm trying to tell you. You guys can read that in your own time. Okay, let's come down now to verse number 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, I apologize, I'm in 13. Deuteronomy chapter 18, let's go there now. Now we're going to start connecting the dots with Jesus from the Old Testament scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 18, the Word of God says here, my friend, in verse number 15. So now we're going to start narrowing on the Old Testament scriptures given the nation of Israel of the future hope concerning Jesus. We're going to start studying together this next series, a lot of verses, to now start connecting. Where did God say here in the Old Testament the connection to Jesus? Where did God say here, 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 and what happened? Why did Israel not see it? Why did they completely approach it ignorantly, if you will? And then today, likewise, why do Christians not see other things? We'll get some lessons. Okay, here we have it. Deuteronomy 18:15. The Bible says, The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Oreb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. By the way, when Israel saw the fire of God, they were terrified. Why do Christians want to keep talking about fire, fire, fire? It's a terrifying fire. Okay, guys, let's just keep it G. That's a whole other message. I'll talk to you about that later. Verse 17. The Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. So this is God talking to Moses now. And will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Now listen very carefully here. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So thousands of years ago, before Samuel, before the judges, before Joshua, before Isaiah, Daniel, all those guys, Moses, this second generation of Israel coming out of the Exodus, getting ready to go into the promised land, one day I am going to raise up a Jewish prophet like me. I am going to give him the words like I'm giving you, Moses. And any of you who are not going to listen to that man, I'm going to talk to you about on Judgment Day. Now, fast forward, New Testament. Just look up to the screen. Fast forward, sake of time, look up to the screen. John chapter number 12. Let's go there. John 12. You can just look up to the screen for the sake of time. John 12, verse 47, Jesus says, If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Verse number 48, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, colon, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So Jesus claims the words that he spoke will judge him at the resurrection. Jehovah God prophesied to the nation of Israel, if you don't listen to that prophet that I will raise up of your brethren, I'm going to require it of you. I'm going to talk to every single one about why you failed to listen to the prophet. So they're in for it on that judgment day. One more on this topic. Just again, look up to the screen here. In John chapter number... and there's so many notes I got here. John chapter 17. Just look up to the screen for this one. I got a lot of notes here. For John 17, verse number 8. He's praying to the Father. This is Jesus in his prayer to the Father. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. There you have it. Deuteronomy 18, John 17. Jehovah God is going to give the prophet his words. Jesus, Son of God incarnate, the words you gave me, Father, I gave them. They received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Okay? So now we're talking about a future prophet that God prophesied to the nation of Israel. He is going to speak the words that I give him. Everything that comes out of his mouth is going to be for me, and if you don't listen to him, I am going to hold you accountable to his words that you failed to believe. So now you have it, John 12. On that judgment day, they're going to be held accountable. They're going to be judged by the words of Christ. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 34. Let's go back now. Like I said, guys, this is going to be part one in our series. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Look with me to verse number 10. The Bible says here, friend, in Deuteronomy 34:10, there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. How about that? That's pretty cool. There's none like Moses, and never will be. However, you want to know what's cool about Jesus coming? John chapter 1. Just look up to the screen for this one. I'm going to keep you in the Old Testament, but I'll show you the New Testament for the sake of time. John 1. Many of you have heard this verse, but now let's read it in light of the theme that I'm just trying to present to you this evening. The Bible says here in John 1, verse 17, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So do you know who knows the Father face to face? Jesus. Moses didn't know the Father face to face. Jesus knew the Father face to face. Moses was limited because of his human flesh. He couldn't see the glory of God. God had to cover his face. And then as he walked by, he let him see his back parts. There's another story about that. But the Son of God, oh, he's seen the Father in his glory. He came from the third heaven. He was sent from the Father to the earth to bear record to the truth. Remember that? That's what he told Pilate. So I want to listen to Jesus, the Son of God. I'm thankful for Moses. I'm thankful that God spoke to him face to face. He saw the similitude. I'm thankful for all the glorious laws he was revealed on truth. But I want to listen to the one who knows the Father face to face. He came from the third heaven. I mean, he is God incarnate. He is the Word made flesh. That's Jesus. Hosea 12:13. Just look up to the screen. Hosea 12:13. Very unique verse here. Some of these books in the Bible you might not be familiar with, but they're there, amen. Hosea 12:13, the Bible says here, "And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved." That's cool. That's about Moses, amen. I just want to show you guys that. Okay. So now let's start talking about the prophets. Let's start talking about some of the scriptures, and let's start talking about God beginning to reveal to the nation of Israel over time more concerning the connection to the future Messiah, that he would be Jesus, and then that's what they're going to hold the Hebrews accountable to when the apostles were beginning to do their ministry, okay? Okay, turn your Bibles with me to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to feed you a little over time because I want to get a couple of these points and then we'll call it, amen? I hope the donuts will make you a little happy. That's kind of what happened there, okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And then look with me now in verse number 20. I'm just going to give you a few of these verses. I want to get this first point across to you tonight, and then we'll call it a night, okay? 2 Chronicles 20. How many of you guys believing the Word of God is beneficial for your life? Anybody here? Anybody here? Okay. Look at this great king a long time ago. I want you to read what he said. 2 Chronicles 20:20. We're going to kind of springboard off that for the rest of the verses tonight for the first point, and we'll call it. So here's what he's saying. King Jehoshaphat, great king, declared long ago. He wasn't perfect, but he was a good king. And so they rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his..." Anyone? "Prophets, so shall ye prosper." I want you to build the rest of tonight on that verse. A good king recognized something about God's prophets. If we want to prosper by Jehovah God, you know what we must do, Judah? You know what we must do, inhabitants? We need to believe his word. We need to believe what he prophesied through his prophets. We are going to be okay with God if we believe him by faith. Now, with that as the basis, I'm going to give you a quick summary of the nation of Israel and why they failed to recognize Jesus, the judgment to come. I'm going to give you that as our part one, and then we'll close. Turn your Bible now to 2 Chronicles 24. 2 Chronicles 24, verse number 19. We're going to summarize history here, so we're going to go back and forth in time. Amen. Here we have a king. And there was a good priest at the time. And when that good priest died, unfortunately, the people were left to their own will again. And obviously, they weren't going to be faithful to the previous priest who was doing a good job teaching the people. They kind of began to go carnal again, for those of you here that have an understanding. And we're going to see a little summary real quick. Look with me now, 2 Chronicles 24. Jehoiada waxed old. He was a good guy, okay? He was full of days when he died, 130 years old when he died. Verse number 16, "They buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. So Jehoiada, the priest, you can read about him in the Old Testament, but he's a good priest, good guy. Verse 17, now, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. Now, who's the king? Let's go up a little bit in your scripture. Let's see who the king is at this time. Go up a little bit here to verse number, I have his name later on in my notes, but just for the sake of time. Let's see here. Where are you at? Joash. You see here? Joash. Okay. Okay, go back with me now to verse number 17 here. So he died, the high priest came, and then the remaining chief princes of Judah, they came to the king, and he received them. Now, verse 18, they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them. But now listen, but they would not give what? Ear. So those of you who have been with us in our marriage discipleship class, what did we learn last Thursday? 1 Corinthians 2, 14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So this is a quick general summary I want to leave you guys with concerning the nation of Israel as a whole throughout time. Sometimes they would have a good king who would keep them on the right path because they are believing the scriptures, they're believing what the prophets prophesied, and they're keeping their people accountable to God. Then they would get a bad king who would not believe, hence he's an unbeliever even though he's a Jew. And then his actions with false gods, and as you guys can see a little bit here, would cause everyone else to do the same thing. And when that king or those people follow that example, God's wrath would come against them. But before God would pour out his judgment, you know what he would do? He would send a prophet to tell them what they're doing is wrong so they can come back to God. What I want to share with you, that God has always used the prophet for the basis of fellowship and relationship with him. He would raise them up, send them to rebuke a king or whoever is reigning at the time, confront him of his sin, and tell him, this is where you left God, and this is where God wants to reconnect with you, but you got to repent. And then they have a choice. They could listen to the prophet and their scripture prophecy or reject it. And then this is a quick summary of the general, if you will, relationship between God and Israel throughout time. Okay, almost done. Give me a few more scriptures on this first point. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. And what is our first point? As you guys can see back there in Acts 28, when Paul is reasoning with the Jews, some believed. And what did it say in Acts 28? Some believed not. All throughout the Old Testament, God would do his best to get the heart back of the Hebrew people. Some believed, some believed not. Even a sign, even a vision, even a miracle wasn't enough to keep the heart of the people in love with their God. It was their free will faith. And so from the time that God began to give them more scripture and revelation connecting the Messiah, no wonder by the time that Christ came, they did not know God. That is, they did not have a personal relationship with him in faith as a whole. Obviously, guys, there were individual Jews who were faithful Jews. They had a love for God, right? But as a whole, remember what Jesus said in John 8 to those Jews he rebuked? He said, I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. Isn't that wild? So now look with me in Jeremiah 7. I'm just going to finish with these summarizing verses, 25 through 26. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them, yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Do you see there? So are you telling me that throughout time, the Jews were faithful with God because of certain works they kept? No, absolutely not. They were rebellious. As a whole, they were completely hardening their neck. God called them out and said, you guys are doing worse things than your forefathers. Isn't that wild? So what am I doing? I'm just painting for you a picture to just give you a quick summary tonight. When Paul is trying to reason with them from the scriptures concerning Jesus, if they don't believe in God, first of all, with a heart of faith, and then number two, the words of God through the prophets, they're not going to believe anything else, is what I'm trying to point to you tonight. Jeremiah 25, turn your Bible there. We're almost done. A few more minutes. Jeremiah 25, verse number 4 through 5, very similar. The Bible says here, "The Lord hath sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever." What else did they prophesy? Look at verse 6. "Go not after the gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. But notice, yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord." And you guys can read so on and so forth. They could have received what God revealed to them, but the nation as a whole refused to believe in God's prophets. Clearly, individuals believed, but the majority rebelled, is what I'm trying to point out to you. We're almost done. A couple more verses. Chapter 35, Jeremiah, chapter 35, verse number 15. Here's what he said. "I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way and amend your doings. Go not after the other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me." A couple of more here. Jeremiah 29. Look with me there. Jeremiah 29, verse number 19. The Bible says here, "Because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord." Notice, they could have, but they rebelled. And then we just have a few more, and then we'll come back to our text and close. Jeremiah 44. Jeremiah 44. And look with me in verse number 4 through 5. He says again here, "Howbeit I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods." You guys can read the remaining portion of that. So what I want to share with you, as you guys can see, so far, scripture with scripture, we have prophets that are sent from God to help the people of Israel to remain faithful to him in a relationship. They had an opportunity to maintain love for him. But every time that a prophet would be sent to correct them, to rebuke them, they had two choices. They could receive and heed the rebuke, or they could ignore and suffer the consequence. So up until this time, the entirety of, generally, I'm giving you again a general summary tonight, we're just starting the series, the general summary of God dealing with the nation of Israel, he kept sending them prophets. He kept raising up his messengers because he loved them. He wanted to prevent them from all the judgments he had already pronounced, if they do and if they don't. You guys can read about that in the Old Testament. But they hearken not. They chose to ignore. And so by the time that Christ comes to the scene and he's quoting the same scriptures, he's showing them everywhere where God said he would do this for you and he would do that for you, the people, like their fathers, he kept saying their fathers, they likewise did the same. Why? Because they hated God. They chose to worship other gods. They chose to be like the heathen. And hence, since there was no love for him in faith, God sent them blindness. They wouldn't believe the truth as an act of judgment. So by the time that the apostles are out there preaching, I'm just kind of fast-forwarding a lot through history, it's no surprise now to you to see whenever they would interact with the Hebrews, some believed, some didn't. Some believed, some didn't. They'll quote all these verses, Old Testament, telling them Jesus here, Jesus there. No, we're not going to believe, just like their fathers. Why? Because they don't have a love for God. And then when they did, they received it. Why? Because they had a love for God. Last verse and we'll close. Turn your Bible with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. I want to leave you with this to show you then. Wow, Brother Carlos, after all these years, hundreds of years that would span between time, a king here and a king there, to the time that Christ came, how did God put up with them? Why did God choose to continue to forbear him? I'm going to answer your question right now before we close. And this, my friend, is also the likewise you can apply to your life as a Christian, because let's be honest, some of us don't read our Bible every day. Some of us ignore the prophets. Some of us ignore the scriptures. Some of us don't spend time with God. We're too busy with our cell phones. We're too busy with family, planting, building, marrying, giving in marriage, eating. We're just too busy living life. Some of us, sometimes our heart begins to grow distant with God and we eventually forget him and we no longer know him. I just want to show you why you're still going to be preserved. Just like I read you in Hosea, you know why Israel is preserved? Moses. You know why you're preserved? Jesus. Because of what? The mercy and the grace of God. Look with me now before we close. 2 Chronicles 36, 14. Watch this now. Summary, right? He says here in verse number 14, moreover, all the chief priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen. I obviously given you a lot of verses, different kings, right, in the time of history. And polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending. Are you ready now? Here it is. Because he had what? Compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. There it is. But now look at the last verse. It's kind of sad. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised whose words? His words. Those are God's words. Anybody here? And what did they do? They misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. So what I want to leave you with, why hasn't God given up on Israel? Because of his compassion. He's just too good to do that. Does he spank him? Oh, yes, he does. Does he rebuke them? Yes, he does. Does he judge him? Yes, he does. He kept sending somebody. He kept sending a prophet. Come back to God with all your heart. God is going to raise a deliverer, Moses, right? We know that in the Exodus. God is going to raise a Messiah through Jeremiah and Daniel and Isaiah and King David's prophecies. The forefathers hardened their necks, their hearts, their ears. We want to keep worshiping those gods over there. We want to keep being like the heathen who don't know him. Look at the clothes they got. Forget our God. We don't believe in this God. Look at these calves of gold. We could care less. And you know why he kept raising another prophet and another prophet? Because he had compassion and for his place. So what can I leave you with as a lesson for you tonight, Christian? Some of us, we don't truly spend quality time with the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us ignore him. You don't spend quality time reading your Bible. You have distractions on your cell phone, family, friends, social media. Some of us begin to grow distant and cold and just loving God. But you know why you're preserved? Because of his compassion. You know why you're preserved? Because of Jesus Christ in your heart. That's it. That's pretty much it. Other than that, you and I are no different than a stubborn Israelite in the land of promise. It gets too good sometimes. We don't call on God. We have enough money in the bank. We don't rely on him when the opposition comes. But you know what God will do for you? He'll send you a brother or sister in the Lord who cares about you, begin to show you the scriptures, teach you truth, because he cares for you. He's trying to keep you on the path. He's trying to show you how to live as a biblical Christian. Just like the Hebrews had a choice to hearken, you too today have a choice. You could either keep listening to that brother or sister showing you the word of God on how to live righteous, how to live better as a godly husband, Christian, or you can ignore. But when you do, I just want to tell you, the reason why you are going to be preserved is just like Israel's preservation. It's not because of their faithfulness. As you and I can tell, their general history is what? Rebellious, idlers. You know, they were clearly not faithful to the laws and the covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was because of what? His compassion. So now, as we come to a close, back in our basics, Acts chapter 28, I want you to notice something powerful, and this is it. He's presenting to the Jews the scriptures. Paul is teaching them now from the Old Testament everything concerning Jesus. Do you see there? Verse 24, some believe not, and some believed. But did God stop there? No. He kept sending apostles. He kept raising up Christian witnesses to keep telling them because he's compassionate. So I just want to leave you with this as we start this new series of studying the Old Testament, the prophets, prophecies. We're going to go more in depth, details here, details there. I just want you to get this in your head tonight, friend. The only reason why Israel is preserved is because of God's compassion. It's not their obedience to the laws. It's not their obedience to the works because they were completely stubborn, every single one of them. Christian, you know why you're preserved? It's not because of your faithfulness to Jesus, the commands. Some of us don't evangelize as we ought. Some of us don't give of our finances as we ought. Some of us don't do those things. And yet, here you are. Why? Because God has compassion for you. He has compassion for people who believe in his son, Jesus Christ. So the most important thing that I can just leave you with tonight, if you want to prosper, just remember what King Jehoshaphat said. Believe God and believe in his prophets. So shall ye be established in the land. Tonight, friend, if there's anything you took, I know we talked about a lot, just don't stop believing God's words. Through ups and downs and difficulties, some of your friends might believe it and some might not. But you don't stop. You keep trusting and you keep letting God use you to help someone else. Amen. Let's go ahead and close our prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God. Lord, I know we talked a lot. I know I fed your flock a lot of scripture this evening, but they need your Bible, God. They need your word. There's a lot of voices out there, as your Bible warned, trying to pull their attention, trying to steal their heart away from Jesus, social media, family, friends, government, culture, so many things, God, that distract us from our relationship with you, God. And I'm just so thankful, just like you preserved your promise to the nation of Israel because of your compassion, your mercy. Likewise, I know that you're preserving us because of the promise you gave your son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to your word, even when we are faithless, even when we're disobedient children. Even when we turn to the right hand and to the left and we ignore some of the prophets you sent in our life, good Christian people trying to help us, keep us in the way. God, tonight, would you help us to be believing Christians in the Word of God so you can guard our heart, guard our mind, and keep us learning to stay on the path that you want us to be on. And ultimately, Lord, so we can have the knowledge and the ability to witness to someone out there who needs to be saved as well. So, Father, help us, stir us for these next couple of Wednesdays on this series of Old Testament scriptures, and we'll sure thank you ahead of time for it. Father, would you please now help us to get home safely and prepare our hearts with a good sleep for tomorrow's soul winning. We thank you ahead of time in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, I love you. If any of you have any questions, come fellowship, if you will. I'll be right here. Amen. Comments, questions, amen. The Lord bless you.